Thank you for listening to the Streams Church Weekly Sermon Podcast. We are a community that strives to know Jesus and make him known. If you like our podcast, subscribe and leave us a great rating on Apple Podcasts. Thank you, and we hope you enjoy.
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for community. Thank you for a church that we can be a part of, that we can share our gifts in. And Lord, I just pray right now that you would speak to us, that we could hear your voice, that we could just really get in rhythm of you and really make the kingdom of heaven a priority. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, I am very excited to launch a new series called Finding a Healthy Rhythm in a Busy World. Finding a Healthy Rhythm and in a Busy World. And so we are going to be talking a little bit about some of the challenges in our culture that kind of stunt our growth or block us from living a healthy and emotional life. And I do feel like there are things kind of stunt keep us from God. There's issues that we bump across, there's temptations that really can stunt our growth. And I threw up a list here, and here's what I want you to do. I want you to pick out a couple that you notice in our culture that people really struggle with. Maybe, you know, it's sin. Maybe there's a lot of people caught in sin. That really stunts their growth. Or worry or fear, negativity. What would you say in this list really is some of the top one or two items that really block people from growing spiritually? The reason that I'm doing this is I've heard a lot of different things about unhealthy relationships, not submitting fully to God, getting caught in sin, and those are really things that hinder. But the one thing that we're really going to key in these next couple weeks is the topic of hurry. The topic of hurry. Hurry is one of the most effective blockades that the enemy uses in order to bring distraction and stunt our growth. According to Dallas Willard, he was an American philosopher, and he was known for his writings on Christian spiritual foundation. He says this, hurry is the great enemy of spiritual life in our day. The great enemy. Listen to what Carl Jung, his work helped inspire the Myers-Briggs indicator test, if you're familiar with that. Just a brilliant psychologist. He said that hurry is not of the devil. He goes to say that hurry is the devil. And for me, that was shocking. I'm like, are you serious? I'm not sure that I fully believe that. Because we as Americans are very busy. We are rushing from here to there. I mean, you talk to anybody, whether they're a student. Oh, how was your week? Oh, it's good. I'm just busy. You talk to married people. They're busy. Oh, you talk to single people, they're busy. You talk to people who are working, they're busy. You talk to parents, you talk to retirees, everybody seems to be busy. To be busy. Is this true? Is there a chance that Satan wants to use busyness to bog us down, to get us distracted, to take our eyes and our focus off the rhythm that God is inviting us for a healthy life? Corrie Ten Boom said this. She said, if the devil can't make you sin, he will make you busy. I've listened to a lot of messages and been in church a long time, but I don't know of anybody talking about busyness being a blockade to your spiritual life. And so I want to explore that in this series, because I don't know about you, but have you ever talked to anybody and they said, you know what, I just feel stressed. I feel tired. I'm exhausted. I'm worn down. Have you ever heard that? I hear it all the time. If I did a survey, probably some of you guys would describe some of those words as how you are feeling right now. And the thing is we want to explore, what does it look like? What does the Bible have to say about this? And the theme scripture that we're going to be looking at is what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11. He says in verse 28, he says, come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." A lot of this series that I'm going to be talking about comes from this book by John Mark Comer. It says, "The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry." And I have to be honest, this is very difficult for me. Putting together this message, I was in a hurry this week. It was very difficult. It was kind of like I'm writing with my left hand and I'm trying to write in Spanish. Like, this is very difficult for me because I am always rushing around. I am busy in my life. Like, I have a lot to do and a lot on my plate. So I'm just going to be sharing this series just for me. So if you want to listen in, you're welcome to listen in. Maybe you can take some stuff. But the idea behind this is it's not that we have a lot to do. The problem is that we have too much to do. And in order to get all of that done, we have to hurry in order to accomplish all of our tasks. So I thought to bring this to real life, I'm a visual person, I thought this illustration might help us. So it's not bad to have stuff to do in our lives, but it's when we have too much. So imagine this tabletop as kind of our lives. This is our week. This is 24 hours a day. This is all the space that we have to do everything that we need to do. So the first thing we have to budget for some sleep, right? So this pillow represents sleep. So this takes up a lot of our space. Hopefully we get 8 hours of sleep. We also have to eat food, right? Eating, that's important. So I have a little plate here. We have to eat. Here's a little burrito. We're going to have some Mexican food here. We also have to cook, right? So there's cooking. Shout out for all the cooks. But with cooking, let's see, we have healthy eating. Here's some exercise, some balance in our nutrition. We have to make sure that spiritually we're good. So I got a Bible here. We're going to go to church. That's an important part. Maybe we're going to go to small group. Let's see what else we have. We have finances, right? This little piggy bank. We have bills to pay, right? We got to keep the internet going. We have to keep our electricity going. Checks to deposit and balance, all that stuff. Here's one of my favorites, my family. Aww. Make sure the family gets, some of our time and our attention. We also have to clean, right? There's laundry, there's dishes. That takes up some space, let's be real. And we can't cook or anything without going shopping. So we got a little shopping bag here. That takes up some time. And then what about work, right? This represents work. Work takes up, I got to move this so it can't fit it all here. This takes up a lot. Our work, if you're like me, you're always doing a project at home. Things break, you got to fix things, or you want to make it a little, nicer. Maybe you like entertainment. You got to have some fun, right? So you have some video games here. Okay, we all have this, right? Screen time. Praise the Lord for screen time. Oh, we're going to have to do less. There we go. We got some screen time. It's football season. What am I thinking about? Got to do some football here. Let's squeeze this in. Okay, we got football. Okay, that looks good, right? That's our life. We have very little margin in our days, right? The margin, how I define margin is this. Margin is on my notes. Oh, it's on the screen. Margin is the space between our load and our limits. Our load and our limits. So we do have loads. And I love how Stephen Covey, he said that we achieve inner peace when our schedule is in our line with our values. So think about that one second. I think Jesus would actually agree with that statement because when what we know is most important, people, family, God, a relationship, those important values that you have, if they don't line up with your schedule, you will have conflict and turmoil in your soul. And our capacities are different for different people. I know that as I age, as we get older, it seems like our capacity shrinks. We don't like it. Mentally, it doesn't. We mentally feel like, oh, I could totally climb that ladder and, da-da-da-da-da. But unfortunately, amen, I hear some amens. Unfortunately, our capacity as we age shrinks, and we need to adjust. We need to be aware of our limits. We have to respect our capacity. So I want to do say this, that Jesus was active. He had a lot of things on his plate. His days were full, but they were full of doing his Father's business. All the time in the Gospels, he was about doing the most important thing. He would always retreat and pray, and he would be all about his Father's business. Look at what he says in John chapter 5, verse 19. He says, Jesus explained, I tell you the truth, that the Son can do nothing by himself. He does only what he sees the Father doing. Whatever the Father does, the Son also does. Here's what's convicting about this series, is as I read the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, it's kind of a play-by-play or a biography. You never see Jesus rushing, do you? It's never recorded like, oh man, I'm running late. I'm going to be there in an hour. He never says that. I imagine that if a camera crew filmed my life, there'd be moments recorded, maybe a lot of moments recorded, where I'm running late, where I'm rushing around to try to do everything that I need to do. But his connection to God was all about the kingdom. Jesus was all about the kingdom of God and not the culture of earth. His connection to God, the Father, that's what set his schedule. And the pressures of culture did not influence him. So why was Jesus not in a hurry? Because God didn't make hurry. Think about that. That is not something of God. That means that if you and I are living for the kingdom of heaven, then we should never be in a hurry. That's an interesting thought. And I know what you're thinking. Oh, Sean, there's got to be some exceptions to that, right? And you're right. I totally agree. Like when my wife was in labor, you better believe that I didn't take my sweet time. I hurried. We got to the hospital. Or if you see a child in the middle of a street, I'm going to be running to grab that child and pull them into safety. Here's another one to be mindful of. When you're through your day, if you ever see a toddler with a Sharpie marker, it's time to take action, folks, right? You'll get something like that. Toddlers and Sharpies, take action. That is the time to hurry. But hurry leads to stress. And that's why I feel like God really is not about hurry. It's because his pace is different. So when we have little margin in our lives, it leads us to a stressful life. The same in finances. Like mentally, I can understand finances a little bit better. Like if I'm talking to a person and they say, hey, you know, what's your bills? What's your expenses? And they calculate it all up and they say, you know what, my bills are about $3,000 a month. And then I ask, well, how much are you making? How much is your income, right? If they say $3,100, they have $100 worth of margin. And I'm nervous for that person because ultimately something pops up. You have a flat tire or you have a bill that you didn't expect. Like there's very little room for margin. And that's the same thing in our life with our time. If we pack our lives so full and something topples off, traffic is delayed. Or the cashier in the check line is taking a long time, or there's a glitch. Now I'm going to be late for my next appointment. And after that, I'm going to be late for the next meeting, and then I'm going to be late for my kids, and it's a big domino effect. because stress is in the hurry and the busy. So we have to be mindful of the margin. And again, this is not my strong suit. As a matter of fact, I have a story where I really blew it bad. I took a trip to Africa, and we fly out there. It's an amazing trip. It actually changed my life. I'll tell that story if I haven't already. But on the return flight, I noticed that our layover was going to be in Paris. Now, I really wanted to see Paris. I had never been there before, and so I says, I'm going to change my flight. I'm going to go a day of sightseeing, and I'll fly out the next day. And I talked into one of the people that was with me, and he says, hey, I'll go with you. My best friend's like, no, I got to get back for my kids and my family, and I get that now. But I was single at the time, and I'm like, there's no way I'm flying through Paris not seeing the Mona Lisa. I got to see the Eiffel Tower. And so I'm recalling the story, but I feel like we flew in Sunday night, and then we had all day of sightseeing. And so me and my friend, we were cruising around Paris, and we went to the Louvre where the Mona Lisa's at, and the Louvre was closed that day. It was like, we're closed Mondays. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I can't take no for an answer. I'm in Paris. When's the next time I'm going to get to Paris? I got to see the Mona Lisa. And so I came up with a plan. And this plan seemed really doable. I flew out at like 1 o'clock in the afternoon, but the Louvre opened the next day at 10. So I says, dude, I gotta go do this. And he's like, dude, I want nothing to do with that. That's crazy out there. I'm gonna go to the airport. So I says, okay, will you take my bag? Because I don't wanna be toting my bag all around Paris. Take my bag to the airport. I'll catch a subway or whatever, and I'll meet you at the airport. No problem. Like, I could get there early, 10 o'clock, flight leaves at 1. Plenty of margin. Plenty of margin. You know how this story goes. My wife says, yeah, I do. I get there, 10-ish. You know, 10-ish, I get there. I just race around the Louvre. You can spend like a week in the Louvre. I race, and I finally found the Mona Lisa. Here's a picture of me. You can see the picture's very bad because I was in a hurry. But there's me in the Louvre all by myself. But I got to see the Mona Lisa, and it's like way over there. It's about the size of this. This is about the portrait of it. And I took a picture, job well done, and now I'm rushing to the airport. But the problem is I know no French, right? So you can see my problem. There was no cell phones, no iPhone, Google Maps. I called the airport, the hotel that we were staying at. I'm like, dude, I'm not making the flight. He was so irritated. He's like, oh, I got to deal with your luggage and all this stuff. And I said, I'm sorry. I get there way past the time. And my birthday was coming up. So I'm like, I don't want to miss my birthday party and all this stuff. And so they orchestrated it to where I flew out to San Francisco and made the connection flight and all this. I finally got home, but I had no margin and I totally missed my flight. Now, was it worth it? I don't know. Yeah, kind of. I kind of have to say yes. But my ignorance and my lack of margin affected all these other different people in a negative way because I didn't respect my limits. Now I'm a completely changed man. Amen. My wife, working on it. This series is for me. Now, you guys are laughing way too much. Here's my point. If this truly is an issue that the devil really works in, and he is sneaky, right? So imagine him just being in sheer delight at our stress and our pressure and our busyness. Like, that's why I want to spend some time on this. Just to ask the Holy Spirit, like, where can I improve on this? How can I get in rhythm to where you are at? And next week, we're going to be talking about the speed of God and the speed of love. And so, in this book, it gives us some signs or some indicators that you have an issue with this. And it's called hurry sickness. It's actually a thing. It's defined. And so, hurry sickness is defined as a continuous struggle and attempting to accomplish or achieve more and more things or to participate in more and more activities with less and less time. So these people think fast, they talk fast, and they're just always on the go. So here's 10 symptoms from this book. We'll race through them, and you can keep score if you're so bold. Number one is irritability. People with hurry sickness, they often get mad or frustrated or annoyed way too easily. Number two, hypersensitivity. All it takes is maybe one snide remark or comment. Your feelings get hurt, and these little events just turn into something, and it just puts you in a funk all day. You just can't seem to roll with the punches. Number three is restlessness. This is when you try to, wind down and relax, but it just seems like you can't. You're watching TV, and you also have to have your computer, or you're on your phone watching TV. This happens to nobody. I don't even know why I talk about this one. But it's hard for you to have quiet time. You're so used to going and going and going in this fast-paced schedule. You're the type of person where if the grocery line is here, you're scanning all the lines being like, which line's the fastest? And oh shoot, I have groceries. I really don't want to do, I have produce. I don't want to do the self-checkout line because that's always a hassle. But you're like that person, right? Workaholism, you don't know when to stop, or worse yet, you can't stop. You have to accomplish that task, and you thrive on accomplishments, maybe you thrive on accumulation, but here's the danger, is by the end of the day, you're spent. You've given all of your best effort and energy at work or whatever you're doing, and you have nothing left for the people who you love at home. And so they just kind of deal with your exhaustedness. Number five, emotional numbness. These people have a hard time feeling another person's pain. They don't have time for empathy, and they thrive on things that are urgent, not necessarily things that are important or mean the most. Number six, out of order priorities. Your values, again, don't align with your schedule. You feel disconnected from your identity, from your calling, and you never seem to get around to those important things in life. Like, this is really important, but another year goes by and you've never finished it. Another one is escapist behavior. These people are too tired to do what actually is life-giving for their soul. You easily turn to distractions of TV, maybe overeating. You're always on social media. And the problem with that is they never really refresh your soul. It's just a distraction. And you never really wake up from binge watching TV and overeating and be like, wow, I'm ready for a new day. There's a quote, and man, this is something to chew on, but it says that if you're feeding your soul on only what numbs it, you're in trouble. If your soul is hurting, if it needs nourishment, and what you're doing is only you're doing activities to numb your soul or distract what's really going on inside, that's a sign of trouble. And got three more. Isolation, you feel disconnected from God and others. It's hard to connect. Oftentimes when you're with people, you just are tempted to get on your phone. You come face to face with the void of your soul, yet you run back to the groove of busyness and digital distraction. Oftentimes you're distant or isolated. Two more, the lack of care for your body. You don't have time for the basics. You can't get 8 hours of sleep. You don't have time for exercise or healthy eating. You just have to make it through. So you power down some coffee or energy drinks just to get the task done. And lastly is a slippage of spiritual disciplines. It's when you're over busy and the things that are life-giving that you should go to first, you don't go to those. Your first go-to should be time with God, prayer, or the scriptures. But you're busy because work changes. And now your work gets bigger and takes more space. So you have a little time with God, but I gotta get more done. So now I'm gonna sleep less. I don't have time to eat or cook. I'll just get some fast food because I gotta make space for how my job has expanded. And the things that really are life-giving kind of fall by the wayside. That's happened to me. I'm guilty of that. The cycle continues over and over. You're exhausted. You don't have time to go to small group. You just want to sit and veg. I get it. I've been there. But I just wonder, how does the devil feel about that? I think it's a win for the devil. He's like, yes, let's keep them go, go, go all the time to the point of exhaustion. And then they don't have any time for people. They don't have any time for prayer. They're so exhausted. So again, no judgment here. I am dealing with hurry and busy. But Isaiah says this in chapter 30, verse 15. This is what the Sovereign Lord says. It says, only in returning to me and resting in me will you be saved. In quietness, in confidence, is your strength. But the warning was, is the people didn't listen. God says, you would have nothing to do with it. You have none of it. We as people need strength. We need to be nourished. So the question is busyness hindering my life from what's important? Does busyness cause me to lose sight? Do I have energy for the things that matter most? I want you to just think about Jesus' words, and I'm going to read them really slow. And this is his, I mean, just think of him as a loving father. Here's Jesus' words. He recognizes this. He gets this. He understands. But he says this. He says, come to me. I've had to tell myself this week, Jesus, I just want to come to you. Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. Do you hear those words? I will give you rest. That's his invitation. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. And you, get this, he's saying, if you do this, you will find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The worship team can come up. We're just going to close in a worship song. But think about that. Jesus is, his invitation is, I get it. I see that you're tired. He's speaking to those who are burdened, who are heavy laden. And his invitation is, come to me. Spend time with me. Make space for me. My burden is light. So maybe you're tired. Maybe you're worn down. You're doing a lot of good things, but maybe you need to rearrange your schedule to make space to do the most important things. Heavenly Father, as we close in worship, I just pray that your Spirit would just be in this place and that we could follow your, we could take advantage of your invitation. That in this space right now, that we could just come to you and that we could even experience a moment of you refreshing our soul. God, would you teach us like your invitation talks about? Would you help us? Would you help us to find a healthy rhythm in this crazy culture that we live in? Help us to be kingdom-minded. In Jesus' name. So maybe you want to just sit. Maybe you just want to take a beat, a breath. Or maybe you want to stand, whatever you'd like to do. But this is your opportunity to come to Jesus right now.